Good evening, everyone. By my computer, it's just turned 6:31. I declare the General Council meeting open. We begin by acknowledging that we're on the traditional lands of the Kaurna people. We pay our respects to their elders past and present. I'll let everyone know that the council meeting will be recorded for audio and that'll be on public or publicly available in due course. I ask any elected members if they have any potential conflict of interest in relation to any item on the agenda. Councillor Telfer. Very good. Governance manageable. Note that. Thank you. There are no others. Looking for someone to move confirmation of the minutes in relation to the General Council meeting and Special Council meeting. But before I do, before we go to that, there was an issue about the minutes in relation to Councillor Valescu's declaration on the artificial turf matter. So I want to make sure that that's fixed up before we proceed to a motion. Unless someone can advise me which page it's on, here we are. It's on page 14 and 15 of the minutes. So the minutes state that Councillor Valescu declared a conflict of interest, well, an conflict of interest. So there's a missing word there in the minutes that should specify the nature of the conflict. And I understood that Councillor Valescu, after some discussion back and forth, had declared an actual conflict, not having a material interest necessarily, but a family member might have had an interest. Councillor Valescu, can you clarify?
I sent something through to governance on that to explain the situation. I thought that would be put in. But
so asking the governance manager how to clarify that. I mean, if on page 15 the word actual is put in before conflict of interest, it has got the description of the nature of the interest. So it's probably just that one word.
Yeah. Through the chair, we've just made a note in confirming the minutes that will be added in.
Just checking, Councillor Valescu, you're happy with that?
Yep.
I mean, it's not about making a decision now, but we're just trying to clarify what was said at the time. So once that's reconciled, would someone like to move confirming the minutes of the General Council meeting and the Special Council meeting? So moved, Councillor Gard, seconded Councillor Masika. All those in favour? All those against? I'll call all those against, please raise your hand. No, it was carried by unanimously, thank you. Just checking. All right, we move on. Now, the BMX item, I'm just going to draw members' attention, as I have done in the past with some of these things. We have two motions dealing with the same topic, one on page 34 and one on page 150. Now, since both of those items deal with the same topic, I would give precedence to Councillor Schilling if he was here, but he's not, so since he moved the first one. But failing that, perhaps I'll turn to Councillor Crossland, who's the author of the second one, if I have leave of the meeting to address both of those motions at this time. So if there's no objection to sorting it out one way or the other. And what I propose then is if Councillor Crossland's motion fails, then the other motion can be considered. And if that fails, well, we'll have to think again. All right, Councillor Crossland.
Thank you, Your Worship. There's been a lot of information provided previously around this topic. This motion basically is to highlight all the environmental work that we'll be doing around that site. Wasn't really clear to people around the Horseshoe or in the community exactly how we'll be adding to the environment in the national park with the actual construction of these facilities. Just to clarify, there are a couple of further discussions to have around what could or could not happen in the future. The first one is around the construction of a public toilet. Look, we know we need a public toilet in that precinct. The location of the public toilet, the design of the public toilet, who funds it, who cleans it, is really a matter for future debate. What is required is that we have some form of temporary solution for the young people using the pump track and their families. So although that's a temporary solution, I've tried to make it clear that we will be looking at a more permanent, more suitable solution down the track, maybe when we know exactly what's required in the whole precinct. The other question, which will be debated down the track, are when we come to look at the leases or licenses for both the BMX and the soccer, there is going to be some form of a need for a small ongoing payment towards Glenthorne National Park. Now, again, this motion does not decide where that payment comes from, whether it's council, whether it's the clubs as part of their license agreements, or whether it's a mixture of both. So those two things I'll highlight are for future debate. And I would like just to make one amendment, because I apparently got my daylight savings times mixed up. Thank you for all those people that pointed that out, and just needed those times reversed so we do stay open longer in summer and less hours in winter. And I'll take that as my debate speech as well. Thank you, Worship.
Thank you. Time was about up, but we'll just, I'll ask you to, it's in paragraph six, just ask Councillor Crossland to check the longer times, the 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. should be during daylight savings. So that's a 9, and the other one will be 8 to 8. I think that was your intention, Councillor. Right, thank you. So the question is that motion seconded? Councillor Hull, you wish to speak?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm happy to second this. I've got to say that I found this particular chapter of this very long project to be concerning and embarrassing, to have a sod turning that really wasn't a sod turning on our land, not on the actual land that it should have been held. It was held in a council depot. Was awkward and embarrassing, and I'm not sure why that event even went ahead, to be honest, given that we don't have any contract signed. This motion will go a long way to actually deal with the concerns that been raised by the Department of Environment and Water and by the Minister. I commend Councillor Crossland for his attention to this, because he's actually discovered other things along the way, like a tree, a significant tree that was earmarked to be removed quite unnecessarily, just to actually make clear lines for a car park. That's not going to happen now, I would hope. And that we've come so far with this project, and with another council, by the way, with the City of Onkaparinga. Let me tell you, in my time on this council, to have another council invest so much money in our council patch is a rarity, and one and something that needs to be valued. We should not be jeopardising it by having this farce towards the end of the project, quibbling over a small amount of money. The reputational damage with the South Australian government, I don't know how we can measure that, because we've got other things that we're planning to do with them as well. We don't need this. And the sooner we actually get this motion adopted tonight, the better, so we can move forward. This is for the good of the entire city, because while we've got this impasse and standoff with the government, other projects and other funding opportunities will be jeopardised.
Thank you. And before calling on others, I was advised that the BMX club, at least ours, was consulted in relation to tonight's motion or the scenario generally. Can that be clarified, Mr. Haridis?
Thank you for the question, Mayor. Yes, we spoke with both clubs, which we felt was important, and discussed along the lines that Councillor Crossland has outlined the motion. The BMX clubs understood the necessity for it and were positive in their response, and obviously just now keenly awaiting how things progress.
I'll call for anyone speaking against the motion. If there are no speakers against, I'll simply put the motion. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you. So we go on. Now, we have three items which are listed as confidential. Before this meeting, I've raised a question mark about the confidentiality. So let's deal with each of those one by one. First of all, page 39, the cover report. So while people are finding that, just to explain for members of the public who are in the audience, there are reasons for part or arguably all of the report to be confidential because there is some legal advice in there. So we have a preliminary vote on whether the debate is held in confidence or not. If it is, because it might touch on those confidential matters, then we clear the gallery, which is disappointing for members of the public, but there are sound reasons for doing so. But the question that I've raised is whether the confidentiality, well, first of all, for members, whether the confidentiality in this item needs to refer, first of all, to the debate, and secondly, to the attachments, which are the really sensitive issues because they involve lawyers' letters, essentially. So it's up to you, members, how you wish to proceed. Perhaps I'll ask the governance manager to advise as well.
Through the chair, the advice that was provided today was that members may want to consider this matter due to the legal advice provided in confidence. The other section was also in regards to some of the potential allegations that were also made in the letter as well.
Ms. McKenzie, in allegations made in the, there's a reference to in broad terms about allegations without saying specifically who it's about or what they are. There is more detail in the lawyer's letters, unfortunately. Anything further?
Yeah, through the chair, the advice was that although it is very broad reaching, the members who the allegations are made about have the right for that to remain confidential. If members would prefer that to remain confidential, then it is an option to consider.
Yes, whereas the members' view is that if there's no one specified and the allegations aren't specified, the confidentiality reasoning in relation to councillors' personal affairs, etc., doesn't really come into play. So you've got a couple of different points of view there. Councillor Hull, is that a question?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Is there any way of having some transparent community transparency with this, but also redacting the? I understand that the lawyers' letters, normally are treated in confidence. I get that. But is there any way of actually, along the lines that you seem to be implying, Mr. Mayor, to actually be transparent with the community about what's transpiring with this particular development application?
Well, I wanted to put it all out there, but there are really two confidentiality questions. One is, do we have the debate in public or not? That's the immediate question. Then once we've debated the substance of the matter, the question will be, how much of the material may then go into the public domain. Now, in relation to the lawyers' letters, I don't think there's any question about it that they should remain confidential. But I've suggested that it would be feasible for the report and the minutes to be public. But that motion comes a bit later. The first question is whether or not the debate itself should be held in public or in confidence. To an extent, it depends on the extent to which people think it will reflect on the content of the letters as opposed to the chronology. The actual logical question being put to council is pretty straightforward. If you look at the recommendations, it's either to send the letter or not. Councillor Hull, and then I think Councillor Valescu might have had a question.
It's a personal explanation, I guess.
Yes.
My personal statement on this is that I have no problem with this being discussed, debated in public. I have no problem with, I suppose I'd better be careful how far I can go, but that's I think you've got the intent of what I'm getting at.
You've sought leave to make a personal explanation. Leave was granted. That's fine. Councillor Valescu.
And what information we can put out there without getting ourselves into any legal issues.
Very well. And then if, perhaps I'll leave the question of documents for now. So you're moving that way. Is that seconded? Councillor Crossland. Anyone speaking against? Councillor Hull.
Mr. Mayor, I think that there needs to be a degree of transparency with the community with this, so they know what is going on to a point. Obviously, the legal advice you refer to should be kept under wraps, but I just think that this is a very important issue for a section of the community. It's in the public interest, I think, that actually the debate happen in open.
Anyone else speaking in favour? Then I'll put the motion. Oh, sorry, beg your pardon, Councillor Crossland.
You did. I know I seconded, but I didn't get a chance to speak.
Very well. You can. I'll use the discretion. You can speak now.
Thank you. Just very briefly, what I was going to just support Councillor Valescu is that I hear everyone. I certainly hear what Councillor Hull is saying. I agree with him. But when we've had discussions around legal advice before, people have started talking about what's in the legal advice. So I just think to start off, we can have that discussion. And then I think when we reach that point, I don't think there may be a point we can say, that's it, we've had what we wanted to say, let's come out of confidence and have the debate in public. So it's a bit fluid, but I certainly understand where Councillor Hull's coming from.
Very well. Any other speakers? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour? All those against? That's carried by majority. So for the debate, informing those in the gallery, apart from certain people that are named in the draft motion that we have before us, who are essentially staff, I'll have to ask you to leave the room, and we may. It's very difficult to know how long we'll be in confidence with the door closed. You may or may not wish to wait. I just don't know whether it's worth it or not for you. That's your choice. And members, we have Mr. Psaltis, the solicitor, in the room as well. Mr. Wright is included in the motion as well, to the extent there are any planning issues that need addressing. Perhaps for those members of the public who are here for the so-called service station development, one of the staff could explain to them, not the detail of the debate, obviously, but the process and the fact that when the minutes are published, is that the word, that there'll be more written information available to them. Now, urban renewal opportunities. Would someone like to move the cover report going into confidentiality? Councillor Valescu, seconded. Councillor Masika. If no debate, then all those in favour, raise your hand. It's carried unanimously, thank you. So apart from those people who are named in the motion, those particular staff, make sure others are out of the room, and off we go. Field River Linear Park. That's all right. That's all right. By the time he opens the door, it's all right. Yeah, that's right. We're allowed to sell them tickets at the door? But anyway, Field River Linear Park. Now, I queried the confidentiality. Mr. Scull added some further information about why it should go in confidence, namely that, well, I can't even say, can I, without it being in confidence? But the problem is that the reason for it to go into confidence didn't really appear in the report. So it was a fair question to ask, I thought. So, you know, to give it the benefit of the doubt, we probably need to go into confidence, and then Mr. Scull can tell us why it should be confidential. Yeah. Moved, Councillor Valescu, seconded, Councillor Crossland. All those in favour? All those against? Carried unanimously, thank you. What did you get for Hutchinson there? In or out? We have just gone into confidence, so could someone close the door, make sure no one inappropriate's in the room? No one's left out. Councillor, I've got confidence, and we can proceed to Edwardstown stuff on page 45 of the agenda. You wonder about some of it, but anyway, Councillor Masika, you're going to move?
Yes, Your Worship, I would like to move the motion as printed, and I would like to add, since this project of revitalization of Edwardstown started, we have seen it gaining momentum, and it's doing wonderful job delivering good quality project in the Edwardstown area. And also, we've seen the project has attracted funding and partnership from the government. On the 15th of February, when we met with the business sector, we had a very good feedback about the project itself and what is delivered in terms of planting trees and the other work which has been carried up in Edwardstown. And it becomes evident that we need to continue with the same momentum. And the residents, they do expect the Marion Council to be continuing with the same work. As I said before, that most residents in Edwardstown, they feel they've been forgotten because there's not much which was coming from the council. And this is giving us our presence and also delivering some good quality work in Edwardstown. So I'd like to move the motion to be accepted as it is for the next financial year, 2021-2022 financial year.
Is that seconded? Councillor Valescu. Anyone speaking against? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you. So we're on to the next point, draft transport plan. Remember, this is just to approve it to go out to consultation. Councillor Telfer.
Obviously, the draft transport plan is very important for our whole community.
Seconded, Councillor Valescu. You've seconded it, and you may speak.
I'd like to know a little bit more about what drives people to use their mode of transport. So either through the consultation or through any other research, I note that we have the same use of car use as the rest of Adelaide, but we can't cycle and we can't walk as much, and we do public transport. So it's probably not the mix I would have preferred. If we were going to lose anything to other modes, I would have hoped it would have been using the car. So if we get a bit more information on that, that would be good.
Speaking against? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Carried unanimously, thank you. That will go out to consultation. The Community Gardens Agreement updated. It's come back before us before, and one would hope it's been improved. Who would like to move the motion? Councillor Hull.
Mr. Mayor, community gardens are starting to become more and more of interest to our community. There has been a number of approaches to me and council about community gardens in my ward alone. There's an appetite in our community for community gardens. Most wards have got one now, I would think. Maybe not. But the majority would have, I would think. So we should be encouraging it. It's a good thing for the community. It's a good way of community to actually get together. It's good from a health point of view that they're actually growing their own produce. And it's something we should foster. And, you know, other councils have even expanded their scope for community gardens to allow growing on verges, fruit trees and the like. So this is only the beginning, I think, in terms of the emergence of interest in community gardens. So I so move.
Seconded, Councillor Duncan. Wish to speak? Then anyone speaking against? Question, Councillor Crossland.
Just a question for staff. I mean, we will possibly have a second one coming online hopefully soon. I don't know if, I didn't really read with the changes that this will make it a little bit easier for the community to apply and initiate a community garden. Historically, it's taken years to get from concept to delivery. Can staff just give me an idea of how long application to potential delivery now takes?
Who would like to answer that? Mr. Lyons, thank you.
I guess, Councillor, the short answer is no, I can't, and I'm going to have to take that on notice, but I would like to reassure you that the agreement is aimed to open up for as many as possible and to have a single agreement with all that's bespoke, but a single agreement structure. We've run this past the three gardens that we already have and the two that are in the pipeline, and we've incorporated all of their feedback, and it's a clear staff intention to make this as user-friendly and as speedy as possible, but I will need to get the timeframes to you.
Thank you. The only other thing in there, it's not a feature, and I'm not asking it to be. The only complaint we ever had was one particular site started looking very untidy, so actually they had to be asked to tidy it up. It doesn't feature in the guidelines, but I'd just like staff to take that on board when they are initiating a new community garden.
Right, thank you. Moved and seconded. No one speaking against or put the motion. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you. So we're on to the Local Government Association National General Assembly. Are staff aware of any motions put forward or yep. No? I was going to ask for expressions of who would like to attend, but Councillor Duncan, you're willing to move a motion or you have a question?
I'd like to move the motion to include Councillor Schilling as the nominee as he was nominated last year and was unable to attend due to COVID. So,
all right, I'll come.
Can I
just pause you there, just to see, first of all, if there are others interested in actually attending. Not getting any hands up, so that makes it easy. Which means that your motion in clause 4 can refer to Councillor Schilling as the voting delegate, and unless anyone else puts their hand up, well, it's full stop after that.
Yes.
All right. Did you wish to speak to it?
Oh, I think it would be very advantageous for Councillor Schilling to do this. I think he's got lots of great ideas and it'll be a good experience, and it certainly will bring back a lot of ideas for us and further the image of the City of Marion.
Thank you. Is that seconded? Councillor Hull. Anyone opposing? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you. So we're on to page 107 of the agenda, draft city limits policy and publications policies. Anyone want to move? They have been before us before. Yes, that's a good way to start. Councillor Hull.
Given the email traffic in the last few days about who is actually getting the city limits, so is there any point in actually adopting this policy and spending money on this publication if it's, as it seems, nobody's actually getting it? I don't get it. Councillor Clancy doesn't get it. Councillor Crosland doesn't get it. Councillor Duncan, I think. You have got it now? Councillor Telfer. So what is the point? What is the point if nobody's actually getting this publication of adopting a policy and when it's not hitting the target? Like, are all these publications ending?
Well, you did ask a question, so let's have an answer.
Are they in a
skip? I can order. I can tell you that I had a discussion with Mr. Clark today about this distribution problem. He has assured me that he's going to move to different distributors, so that's a start. I suppose the rhetorical question in reply is, because it's not being delivered well, does that mean you stop the publication altogether? I think they are two different questions, but I do agree with you that the publication, the distribution question needs to be addressed. Mr. Clark, do you want to add anything to that?
Thank you very much. Through the chair, all I want to add to that is that we also intend to go out to a tender as well to try and find new methods to actually distribute as well. So it's not just this provider, but looking at other providers and other options for delivery as well.
Councillor Valeska, question?
Very question. Do we know if they've been delivered to no junk mail or authorised GPO mail boxes? Because I know someone around the corner from me got it and I didn't, and I've gotten to the authorised GPO mail. I don't know if any of the councillors here have got a similar type of warning, and is that the case and is that the intention?
Thanks for the question. The advice that I've received is that it goes to all houses, including those which have the no junk mail on there, because it's a government authorised document. I actually did ask the company today about their delivery, and their advice to me today, which is I'm a little sceptical about, is they're saying that 96.42% of the coverage actually occurred in Marion. So they're saying that they're only almost 3.5 percentage points off. Now, based on what you've said tonight and what I'm hearing as well, I'm not hearing that either. So that's why I'm extremely unhappy. We're putting a lot of money into a very good product, which we'd better communicate to our community. And it needs to get out there onto the streets.
Questions, Councillor Masika, then Councillor Gard.
Yes, Your Worship. My question is not about the distribution. I know it's in my area, everyone got up the paper, the city limits. But the issue which has come up is the removal of the councillors' column. Because people, they used to go read there, know what their councillors are doing and what is happening within the local ward. I remember one person approached me on Saturday. He said, "You wrote only 35 words. I love the, you know, the new reserve." They said, "Is that what you did for the whole entire 3 months?" And I said, "No, I did so much." I said, "How can I prove that we did so much?" So there was nowhere I could communicate to them. And that's how I used to communicate, to say what has been happening in the ward. So I'm not in favor of the moving up to accept up the current motion unless I see the column come back, because that is the only way I can talk to the people who elected me to be in this chamber.
Councillor Gard and then Councillor Duncan. Well, I guess sort of getting into debate, but if there are questions, factual questions.
Mine is in reference to a point on page 110.
Specific is good, yes.
Yep, under the heading of articles that promote. And I was going to ask if we should not change the third last dot point, which reads financial products or services that promote loans, and then add the words or investment, because it's really... I think the two go together from
I would say an investment like a share broker or a trust fund or something would be a financial product.
But so is a loan.
Yes.
I speak as a former licensed person.
Financial services.
Well, this is the time. If you would like to see it changed, we can incorporate that in the motion.
I think we should. Because unless we take advice on it, but I don't think if there's a good reason not to promote loans, then that reason would stand for investment as well. Put it that way.
What could I ask, Mr. Clark, what's the intent there?
I think the intent here is that we don't want those sort of payday lender type people. I think that's what we're trying to do. Is if the National Australia Bank came to us and said, if we want to have a half page in there, that would be okay, but we don't think that the payday lender around the corner who's the loan sharks, that's the sort of thing which we're trying to not get included in the magazine.
There are through the chair, there are similar sorts of bodies that promote investment too. I mean, the vast majority are authentic and good, but it's a similar ratio, I would think. So I think there's a principle there that we need to consider.
So just tell us exactly what you'd like that dot point to be then.
I would just put the words on the end or investment, because they're two that go together. Second, in financial sector.
Third last dot point. Very well. When a motion is finally moved, that could be incorporated. Well, would you like to move the motion? That would kick things off.
Yes.
You'll move the motion with the policy being amended to add the words or investment products or investments. Then would you like to speak any further to it? Seconded, Councillor Duncan, would you like to speak further?
I'd just like to add reinforce what Councillor Masika was saying, that I have had complaints, well, statements from the community asking where our columns are. So maybe we should have our columns once, three times a year or something like that, right before.
Just order, Clara staff are just making a comment here. I do know that the focus groups organised by staff had a contrary view.
There's a previous resolution from December last year, so they'll need to rescind it.
So I'm told that there's... Ms. McKenzie, can you explain?
Through the Chair, I just sought clarification from Mr Clark, and if members will remember, there was a previous decision made by members late last year in regards to how you wanted to deal with the elected member columns. Therefore, if you want to change it, you will need to consider a rescission motion on the previous decision to be able to amend the policy.
That's not in the motion before us.
No, but the policy will be contrary to what the previous motion said.
Sorry, where does it say in the policy that things have changed, Mr Clark?
It doesn't. It's actually consistent with the resolution from December of last year.
Well, councillors can move... That's right. Councillors can't move an amendment along the lines of the elected member column issue. That's what Ms McKenzie's saying. There's nothing wrong with the motion being moved or seconded, but there can't be an amendment without a rescission because there's already a decision on the column issue. That's what, yeah. That's the advice as I understand it. Yeah, Councillor Crossland?
They'll also have to move a rescission to change the policy we're about to vote on. So really, if people are thinking of that, a deferral.
It sounds like if there might be a procedural motion, if somebody wants to have that debate, and in that light, somebody came up to me as well and said, 150 words, is that all you've been doing the last 3 months? And I said, oh, Mum, you know I do a lot more than that. But anyway, it's up to Councillor Masika or anyone else to move a procedural motion to defer the matter to, I suppose, the next council meeting or two council meetings hence.
So you can allow the rescission to probably
happen? A council meeting in the council meeting in April if you wish to re-agitate the matter.
Thanks, Your Worship. I'd like to move deferral motion for the current motion with the intention of putting a precision motion at the next General Council meeting.
I'm recommending that you go for the April Council meeting.
Yes, I do agree. I take your advice. I'll come to the April.
Yes, and meeting. that will give you or anyone time to rescind and insist that there's a 500 word limit for the elected members each or whatever people want to do. So that's been moved. Is it seconded? Councillor Clancy, thank you. It's a procedural motion. Is it a point of order? The motion was in relation to both policies, and so both are being put off to April if the motion is passed. I'll simply put the motion because it's procedural. All those in favour? All those against? Motion is carried. So that'll come back in April, and if members want to do their homework, fine. On to page 125, Cove Football Club. So they would like to put up an electronic scoreboard and they need landlord approval. The motion is not asking for money. It's the club is responsible for money. So, Councillor Duncan.
Using it in between times.
Very well. Is that seconded, Councillor Crossland?
Yeah, just echo what Councillor Duncan said, but also that the scoreboard can be relocated quite easily if it needs to be moved in the future.
Anyone against? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour, carried unanimously. Thank you. We're on to page 133. BMX is back, but this time it's a fairly innocuous funding deed. I did have a look at it. This is in relation to the Department of Transport agreeing to improve the site access from Magus Road to the BMX facility. So I don't see any controversy on the horizon, but it's up to you. Councillor Duncan to move. Anything to speak to that? Very well. Was that seconded? Councillor Gard. Nothing to add. Anyone against? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That is carried unanimously. Thank you. Is there anything else? Oh, yes. And just for information, that I think most members are aware that the Premier said following the last time that our bylaw was rejected that he wouldn't entertain a bylaw which entailed fines. But Councillor Hull, over to you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Happy to move this motion. Members, I would like to see this dealt with tonight. If you think about the timing of it, if we actually get this motion through tonight, that means the staff can go away and build up this new bylaw with the removal of any penalties for shopkeepers, retailers, and we can actually discuss it at the forum. So the timing is good. I would also like to see the traction continue with this. This has been a lot of work for the council. It has been an expense with legal costs and all that. I want to see the traction continue. In other words, we keep moving on with this because I sense that we might actually get this through. I even picked up on social media that Mr. Drake from Drake's Supermarkets would support this, and he basically said, let's get on with it. Because think about it. If they really are concerned about having their shopping trolleys nicked multiple times a day, there is a cost to them. And why wouldn't they get behind a bylaw like this? If we're actually focusing on the perpetrator, focusing on the education, the warnings, and the possible prosecution of some form of the perpetrator. If they persist, they're given warnings, they're educated. If that doesn't work, then we actually do what we do with parking fines or any other offence in our community. There is a cost, there's a penalty. Otherwise, the bylaw means nothing. This has been thoroughly aired in our community. Sure, it's got to go out for public consultation again. Mind you, this will be the third time, I think, because it went out once before. And I urge you to support this just so we can keep the ball rolling with this.
Is that seconded?
Can I ask a question?
Question, Councillor Crossland.
Just to clarify, what is the situation with us fining people taking trolleys right now?
Do I have staff to assist? Could you suggest, Councillor Crossland, particularly what behaviour are you talking about?
I tried to ring Marion Reception today. I was on hold for quite a while, but in the great information I was provided, it told me that we'd introduced a bylaw and we'd be out fining people if they remove trolleys from supermarkets. So I'm guessing that bit of the bylaw's current.
Was that spoken to you or was it on the recorded loop?
It's on the loop with the community information.
I see. Well, Mr. Skull, you're in charge of that. How do you explain that?
Through your worship, I wasn't aware of that, and I'll look into it, and I just exclaimed
which I won't repeat, but I didn't know.
If you phone about 9:30 on a Monday, you should probably get it eventually. I think it was one of your rhetorical questions, Councillor. It is a bylaw is a take it or leave it exercise once it gets to Parliament. It is either in or it's out. The only middle course is where the Parliamentary Committee goes back to a council and says, look, could you amend this, consult again, bring it back to us. That's the way you can get some movement or partial completion, but other than that, it's black and white. It's either accepted or it's disallowed. I did have one question, although it's more for Mr. Clark. That is, what is the anticipated media response the first time that council applies a fine of $187.50, for example, to a shopper who's leaving a supermarket with a trolley or supermarket premises? Appreciate your expert advice. Any other questions? Councillor Pryor.
Given this may be the last time we hear from a certain person, I'd like to hear the CEO's thoughts on this motion.
Mr. Skull.
I'll take that on notice, Councillor Pryor.
Ask again in 4 weeks. Okay. Any other questions? Then, well, I have a mover. Do I have a seconder? Last call for a seconder. There being no seconder, the motion lapses for want of a seconder. And I can declare the meeting closed. Thanks for your call. Cool. It was replaced by an alternative.